opposition to vaccination is not a new phenomena. But what about religious opposition to vaccination? Earlier this year, 8 employees were fired from a hospital in Indiana for refusing mandatory flu vaccinations. One of the fired nurses, Ethel Hoover, a senior nurse with more than 21 years of experience, claimed that her employer's vaccination requirement violated her religious liberty. The conservative Christian lobbying group Liberty Council has long argued that Christians should not be compelled to take vaccines because some vaccines are derived from aborted fetal tissue. But what truth is there in these claims, and how should hospitals balance their employees' desire for religious freedoms against their patients' desire not to contract the flu? I spoke with Stephen Novella. He's best known as the co-host of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe and the president and co-founder of the New England Skeptical Society. In addition, he's also a medical doctor. I began by asking Stephen just how important is it for medical staff to be vaccinated against infectious diseases.
Workers in a hospital or a nursing home or anyone who has intimate contact with patients who are ill, they have a responsibility, you know, not to spread disease around. The hospital is quite a dangerous place to be. It's a place where there's a lot of bacteria and viruses. They get spread around quite a bit, and hospital staff have to take a lot of precautions to minimize spreading those infections around. And being vaccinated is just part of that basic preventive strategy.
If one of your medical colleagues was working with patients, possibly in an environment with infectious diseases, but was not vaccinated, would that give you cause for concern?
Absolutely. Where I work and most places in the U.S., staff are strongly encouraged to get vaccinated, and the flu vaccines are provided for free to anyone involved in patient care. I mean, they really go out of their way to make it as easy for us as possible to get vaccinated. We usually don't take the draconian step of, say, firing somebody for not getting vaccinated.
But perhaps this more draconian approach might be appropriate in a ward that, say, dealt with people who are particularly susceptible to infectious diseases, such as a burns ward.
Yeah, it's tricky. I think so. I mean, I think that it's generally accepted that healthcare workers have an extra responsibility to their patients, and that you can require quite a bit of them. And if they won't take basic precautions that are necessary to protect their own patients' health, you know, that should have consequences. On the other hand, as you know, religious freedom is carefully guarded in this country, and if somebody claimed a religious exemption, they would have a strong case to make and would probably have a lot of sympathies on their side. Of course, you could always come up with some compromise in terms of, well, if you're, you know, foregoing the vaccination, maybe we won't fire you, but we'll restrict your duties so you're, you know, to minimize patient contact, for example.
I recently observed a new category of objections to vaccinations. These are religiously rather than medically motivated objectors. For example, the American pressure group, the Liberty Council, claim that compulsory vaccination is at odds with their notion of religious freedom. The strange thing is, though, that compulsory vaccination is not a new idea. It's been required by the military, schools, and hospitals for many decades. Why is this becoming a problem now?
This has been a problem since the dawn of vaccines. This isn't really a new problem. This has been with us the whole time. And you know, definitely in the U.S., the religious exemptions, religious concerns about getting vaccines and anything compulsory has been there for over 100 years, for, you know, since the dawn of vaccines. So this really isn't anything new. It does tend to flare every now and then, rise more into the media and public consciousness, but I honestly just don't think it's anything new.
Religious groups rarely do a good job of articulating the precise nature of their objection. For example, one criticism is that some vaccinations are made using the byproducts of abortion. Obviously, the Liberty Council is not a reliable guide to modern pharmacy, but is there any truth to this claim?
There is the barest sliver of truth to it, but it's so removed from reality that it's very misleading. Decades ago, cell lines were established from aborted fetal tissue. Those cell lines have been perpetuated in lab now for 30, 40 years. And it is those research or laboratory cell lines that are sometimes used to incubate viruses that are used in vaccines. It is simply not true that there is actual aborted fetal material in vaccine. That's a lie. These cell lines that were derived decades ago from fetal tissue is sometimes used in the manufacturing process of vaccines. So, again, it's not 100% wrong, but it's grossly misleading.
These cell lines are widely used in all kinds of medical and pharmaceutical research. It occurs to me that if you object to the use of these cell lines in making vaccines, you must also object to pretty much any drug developed in the last 20 years.
That's correct, and a lot of medical research, too.
I've noticed another religious objection to vaccines. These aren't so much objections to the composition or the method of manufacture of a vaccine, but what it protects from. I've noticed that some Christian groups are very opposed to vaccinations that protect people from diseases that are normally associated with sexual vice.
Yeah, that's been the big Gardasil controversy in the U.S., for example, where some religious groups are opposed to that, saying that, well, if you had monogamous relationship with one person after you get married, then there wouldn't be a need to use the vaccine, which essentially prevents the papillomavirus, which is a sexually transmitted virus and increases the risk of cervical cancer in women. Except for those people who are putting forward that argument, I think most people think that that's a fairly absurd argument to make. People make choices. Whatever life circumstances may occur, that they end up with maybe, you know, they may be monogamous, but their partner isn't, or, you know, people get divorced and remarried and whatever. So even if they're trying to take some kind of religious, you know, higher moral ground, it doesn't really make sense. And it's also just imposing, you know, a very puritanical morality onto other people and saying, no, you have to suffer the risk of cancer if you're going to, you know, adopt a lifestyle that I don't personally agree with. It's, you know, it's just absurd.
When we think about religious liberty, we normally think about the rights to free expression and to hold beliefs without threat or interference from government. But this seems like an altogether different kind of thing. Do we have a religious right to potentially endanger other patients?
Yeah, I think whenever someone else is involved, the situation goes beyond just the rights of the individual, the religious freedom of the individual. So no one says that you have the right to be a healthcare worker. If you want the privilege of being a healthcare worker, there are certain things that you need to adhere to, certain ethical standards and certain standards of professionalism. And if they do not accord with your personal religious beliefs, so that's on you. I mean, that's something that you have to resolve, but you can't expect other people to suffer for your religious beliefs.